Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We thank you so much for joining us. I've discussed aspects of the New Age before, and previously, a while ago, we discussed aspects of a phenomenon in the New Age, which is called walk-ins. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. This is the belief within the New Age that a highly advanced spirit will come to an individual and desire to exchange places with the spirit in that individual that can't grow or evolve spiritually any further in its present condition. So the current spirit inhabiting a particular body agrees to leave so that the more spiritually advanced spirit can take up residence in that adult body. The other spirit goes someplace else to another zone to wait for an opportunity to take up residence in another person's body. Basically, this is a form of reincarnation by another name. Now, Christians should be aware that the concept of walk-ins does not exist in biblical truth or in reality, and neither does reincarnation. Hopefully you're with me on that. Demonic possession, however, does exist, but that's entirely different from what the New Age calls walk-ins. What they talk about, what they believe, is really a fantasy that's accepted as reality by gullible people who have been taken over by the swell-sounding subterfuge or lies of the New Age. However, as I've talked about previously, it's very helpful to understand terms, verbiage, and tenets of the New Age because it provides us with insight into how Satan works and how he deceives millions of people throughout the world. We also need to keep in mind that his overriding goal, the one that led to his original fall, is found in Isaiah 14:14, and it is, according to him, to, quote, "Be like the Most High," unquote. Now, it's important for Christians to grasp this fact. We need to understand what motivates this diehard enemy of humanity. Everything Satan does, everything that motivates him, is to fulfill the goal of his, which he stated in Isaiah 14:14. And again, of course, if you read that passage, you'll learn that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing at all. God sees the innermost thoughts of an individual. He understands and knows what each of us thinks, what each of us discusses with ourselves, what each of us tries to hide behind. He sees it. There's nothing hidden from him. So it's important for Christians to understand how Satan works, how he thinks, how he, you know, is motivated. God has allowed Satan to do what he can to fulfill his promise to be like the Most High. And God will continue to allow it because ultimately it feeds into God's purposes of glorifying himself. Satan will have every opportunity to, quote, "be like the Most High," unquote. Even having one particular individual at the end of this current age to lead the entire world in a rebellion against God Almighty. That is going to happen according to Scripture. But the question, of course, is how does this glorify God? Well, on several fronts. First, it gives Satan untold opportunities to create rebellion in humanity against God. And in so doing, it winds up weeding out those who would never, under any circumstances, willingly bow the knee before God as Lord and Savior. I mean, they will do it anyway, according to Scripture. Every knee will bow. But in this life, many refuse to do that willingly. The demarcation line is clearly set by Satan, and those who follow his path end up doing the same thing he does. Now, this puts them on a path that not only walks away from God, but truly opposes God on every front, and their decision becomes their fate. Second, the way things are working now, everything is moving to eventually bring Satan himself through the Antichrist out into the open. It can't be avoided. Satan works under cover of darkness and sin for now, but he will so possess and empower the coming Antichrist that the two will literally be as one. One mind, one thought, one purpose. Satan will gather his troops through the Antichrist, using his supernatural power, his might, and his tenacity to oppose Christ as he tries to physically return to this earth. And it won't be a try. It won't be an attempt. He will do that. That will be Satan's final undoing, the beginning of the end. Having worked directly through Antichrist, Satan's power and arrogance will be on display publicly. And the Lord Jesus, upon his return, according to Scripture, will destroy Satan's work also very publicly. Now, Satan will be bound at that point in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and Antichrist and false prophet will be tossed into the lake of fire. Eventually, that's where Satan is going. Now, in the meantime, however, Satan still hides behind human beings deep in the shadows, though I would venture a guess that he shows his power to a special few human beings whom he allows to think have earned the chance to see Satan's glory. Now, for the most part, though, and by the way, let's remember this. Satan has no power, no glory, no nothing, had not God given it to him to begin with. He is a created being and chafes against that idea, that thought. Now, for the most part, though, when we see outbursts of the enemy, it's usually by human beings who are possessed or thoroughly darkened in their minds, as Paul indicates in Romans 1. People with darkened minds cannot, do not, they have no ability to think straight. They determine truth through their feelings. We call this emotional virtue or political correctness or cultural Marxism, as often people are made to do something or think a certain way because of how something pulls at their heartstrings, as opposed to absolute truth as reflected in Scripture. This has been part of godless global society for generations, but we've also seen it, unfortunately, steadily creeping into churches for the past 4 or 5 decades. Now, in the end, it has made strong inroads. And as it does, it pushes God and the Bible out. But as far as people with darkened minds are concerned, they see no problem, no disparity in their actions or words. If they do something wrong, the only problem for them was actually getting caught, not the action itself. Even then, they often continue on as if nothing occurred. We've seen this with numerous politicians and political leaders. In fact, President Bill Clinton was impeached for lying to a congressional hearing. He remained in office because there were not enough votes to actually remove him, but he was technically impeached. This alone tells us the level of emotional virtue within Congress. It's not that he had sexual contact with an intern. That was bad enough. Certainly that's between him and his wife Hillary. He ultimately was impeached for lying to members of Congress under oath. And yet, I'm sure he thinks nothing of that. I want to be clear here that there are people on both sides of the aisle in Congress who succumb to cultural Marxism, political correctness, emotional virtue, allowing it to lead them and to make decisions for them, even though there's nothing absolute about using emotional virtue to make decisions because our feelings always change. People using emotional virtue actually believe their decisions are based on absolutes to some degree. And this is in spite of the fact that the exact same situations might merit one answer for one person and another for another person, depending on the situation. Now, in keeping with the idea of having a darkened mind, you can see from a recent tweet, you remember Donna Brazile? She was the individual who was caught providing Hillary Clinton with the questions that were going to be asked during a presidential debate. Now, what's interesting here is, even though she was caught, she it doesn't matter to her. Her problem, she believes, was in getting caught, but she doesn't believe that she did anything wrong. And yet this same individual who was caught cheating condemns President Trump for something that hasn't even been proven yet and probably never will be, because there's no integrity to the accusation that Russia hacked our elections to help President Trump win. But we've got all this kinds of stuff going on, and it's all because of darkened thinking. All because people are incapable of making actual good decisions based on truth and lies, but instead make those judgments or those decisions based on the way they feel about something. Again, emotional virtue. You know, the concept of walk-ins, as we discussed earlier, is interesting that the New Age discusses this and believes. They believe this. They believe that it is often normal and happens quite often. A person might wake up one day and have no memory of certain events in their lives. Well, they say, well, that's because you've experienced a walk-in, and that new spirit that took over doesn't have those same memories. So that's why there's these big black spots, these blackouts. The real truth, though, the ultimate and absolute truth provided by God himself, is that people are extremely capable of becoming thoroughly darkened in their thinking. And Paul, as I mentioned in Romans 1, outlines the downward spiral. The darkening of the mind does not allow people to think critically or logically. And why do they go there? Because they don't love the truth. It blinds them not only to God's truth, but supplants it with a, quote, truth, unquote, that's always changing. That's just simply the way it goes. And going back to Donna Brazile, she believes she has the high moral ground to condemn the Trump administration for something when, in point of fact, she actually acted illegally and unethically. And to make matters worse, as I mentioned, the only thing Donna Brazile is sorry about is the fact that she got caught. She says this, quote, "My conscience as an activist, a strategist, is very clear." Her conscience, as she thinks, is clear because she effectively doesn't have a working conscience anymore. It has been seared, 1 Timothy 4:2. A person with a seared conscience has no pangs when they do something wrong. The conscience at that point has effectively been shut down into silence. It no longer works. So we have this problem with so many people throughout our global society where the conscience has basically been shut down and no longer does what it was supposed to do. Now, the problem, of course, is that while it is fine to ask questions, it is illegal or certainly unethical to obtain debate questions and then hand them to one of the debaters so that they can have a leg up. Anyone, any child would know that that's cheating. This would be like obtaining the questions or answers to the final exam in one of your classes so that you could ace it. If you're someone who thinks, huh, you know, if a person can obtain that information, more power to them, then you are part of the problem. And hopefully as a Christian, you don't think like that. And it's very possible if you think like that and thoroughly believe it, you've got a seared conscience yourself. That would be cheating. In effect, you would be lying because you would be giving the impression that you're on the same footing as all the other students in your class, when in point of fact, you have much more going for you because you were able to obtain the questions and answers to the test questions before the exam occurred. Now, the subject of walk-ins is interesting because it actually lets people off the hook, so they think. People are no longer responsible for anything if a walk-in has exchanged places, right? With the spirit that was originally housed in their bodies. This is absolute garbage. It is a satanically inspired lie. Even when a person is possessed by demons, the person often still has self-awareness. They're still there. They didn't leave their body and move to another place. They were overpowered by demonic activity. And those quote-unquote strong men now reside in that person with the person's spirit. Only God can deliver them from that. The dementia that appears to exist within many on the left, specifically, although it happens on the extreme right too, is largely due to what Paul discusses in Romans chapter 1. Read it several times to understand how this downward spiral starts and where it leads to. It's not pretty, and the person is still very culpable. They're held accountable before a holy God. You know, like Donna Brazile, they get to a point of a seared conscience because they have ignored its pangs for so long. They have decided they're not going to pay attention to it.
They've deliberately and repeatedly chosen to do things their way and not God's. They are not interested in his truth or fair play. They're interested only in serving self, and that much is clear. And the term walk-ins implies that the person is not responsible for their actions or words. Their resident spirit within them simply changed places with another spirit. They couldn't help it. Simply happened. There is much about the New Age that seeks to absolve people of any responsibility at all for things that occur in their life. This is one of the biggest reasons people chase after it. It's what they do. It's their attempt to fulfill parts of Psalm 2 where God draws us a poetic picture of people who do everything they can to throw off God's chains. He allows it, if that's what they really want, but in the end, they will rue the day that God threw them over to themselves. You know, more and more people today are doing everything they can to throw off even the very thought of God. God is giving them over to themselves. The lies are becoming blatant in society, and it results in people who are demented, darkened in their thinking, incorrigible, and plainly put, simply evil, because they're allowing themselves to be aligned with the way Satan works. A person doesn't have to be possessed for this to occur. It happens all by itself when people do whatever they can to reject God and his truth over time. I sure hope that's not you. Folks, as Christians, we need to understand that we are guilty before a holy God. We must say, like the prophet Isaiah, I am undone. I am unclean. That is us, even though we might now have the righteousness of Christ. We need to have that attitude that the prophet Isaiah had. I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord today, and I want to emphasize to you something that I believe is extremely important for all Christians today. Are you reading his word daily? If you're not, you need to. You need to be reading, eating, absorbing his word on a daily basis. Don't read to just get it done. Read for understanding. Pray that as you read his words, his living words, the very truth of what you're reading will impact your life. Thanks so much for joining me today. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.